So how would music you write today differ from music that you wrote, oh, let's say, 5 years ago?
5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
That's from the fact that millions of girls are hearing this, and they weren't hearing it 5 years ago.
Okay.
I would say Amy and I started writing years ago in New York with a show called The Game. It was based on Dangerous Liaison, and
right.
it had a reading at the Barrington Stage.
Mm-hmm.
The songs that we wrote when we were just starting out, is it 12 years ago or so, Amy?
I hate to say it's 15.
It's 15 years ago. We were in kindergarten when we wrote it. So anyway, those songs that we wrote, that was a production that went up at NYU. Terrific production, and we were working on it at BMI Workshop, and I was a graduate student at NYU. I would say those songs, you know, those were sort of first drafts, and then years later, when we were working at Barrington Stage, and we wrote this with another really good writer, David Topchick, most of those songs didn't stay. I mean, there were
just
a few songs that stayed.
You know, when you're first writing, it's like you're drawing the outlines of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start to have the ability to color it in, sometimes you realize you're not that the outline itself wasn't right. I think what's happened now, after all this time, is that it's easier for us to know what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can spend a lot of time, especially if you're writing a musical, you can spend a lot of time writing songs for characters that are in the wrong place or the wrong sentiment.
Or a character has too many songs and one of them has to be cut,
mm-hmm.
for example.
And that happens a lot when you're first writing. It happens somewhat less as time goes on because you pre-edit.
And you start to notice those things as you mature as a writer. And I really do think musically, you, at least from my point of view, I become more and more sophisticated. I listen to a lot more music. I analyze a lot more music. And so when I'm writing, I bring to the party all that past knowledge. So I think you just get better.
And as a lyricist, one of the interesting things for me has been that when I first started writing, I actually had to try. I had to sit down and will myself to do it. Now it's sort of like a faucet. I can turn on the creative process or turn it off at any time.
I'm the same way. And with a baby now.
Right.
I used to spend so many hours, I don't even know what I was doing.
Right.
It's like writing and eating and looking at the email and writing and getting the mail. Now I'm like, I got a free hour. Gotta write a song.
Here it goes. Right. And you,
I have 3 minutes to write by the end of the day.
Right. And
so
I think that comes with time, where you find that you don't have to try so hard to have the resources at your fingertips to do the writing with.
Right. And you also go to the store and you listen to stuff and you watch things with a more critical eye. And you also, you know, in creating a musical, for example, Amy and I know, okay, this would be a good writer for it. This would be a good director for it. You become more selective.
Great. Well, there is a bit of a composition and music here at one of the universities close by. What kind of advice would you give to up-and-coming songwriters or composers?
Well, I would say it's a wonderful art form to express yourself in. I mean, what Amy and I do is called show business. You can be great at the show, but you also have to be good at the business.
Yes, you need to develop a very thick skin if you really want to play this game.
Exactly. Some of our best stuff has been thrown out, and then you can use it for something else, or not. But you have to have a thick skin. You have to be able to promote yourself. You have to sort of be your own business person. You have to create really good collaborations and a reputation where, you know, people want to work with you. These are like little commitments that we have to people we work with. I think you have to be able to work super, super long hours and do whatever it takes. I mean, there are times where, you know, I've answered a phone. Phones have been an assistant for a composer before and done that extremely well. I mean, as well as I could do, just to, you know, be close
be
and
in
be
there.
In the business and know what was happening and figure out, you know, how things work. As you know, composer, develop your voice is very important. But if you do come out to Hollywood or want to make your living as a composer, just go out there and do it. You know, there's nothing more but going out there, working really hard toward your dream. And that's sort of, Amy and I are living our dream right now.
Yeah, it's been a great year for us.
It's been awesome. Mm-hmm.
That year was 15 years in the making.
Right.
And that's,
there's no overnight success, I gotta tell you.
Or, you know, there are some, but that doesn't invalidate everything else.
Right.
I mean, I've often heard people say in my end of the business that the songs that they least expected to mean anything were the ones that actually became the most popular.
Right.
And the ones that were dearest to their hearts never even got recorded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Know, sometimes that happens. Also, I've had an interesting experience professionally because I've worked with a lot of people, and I have to say one of the great things, you know, in Megan's and my collaboration is that we understand each other so well that we're completely creatively comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We're not afraid to be ridiculous in front of each other, and you can't be in any kind of creative relationship where you're worried about
right.
what the other person
right.
might
There's
think.
A trust. And when Amy says, you know what, that's not the right melody, she has this little voice she uses, like that, I'm not sure. I'm like, okay, how about this? If I feel it's right, I might argue that point with her. But most of the time, if she says, you know, Meg, that's not right, or, you know, I think it should be more like this or something, if you're open to it, I think it just gets better.
So finding your, you know, your most valuable creative partners is a really important part of the process. And that could be finding creative producers, finding composers if you're a lyricist and vice versa. It could be finding the right publisher, somebody who's, you know, you want to surround yourself in this business, which is such a difficult business, with people who are supportive in every way.
And as far as like the film scoring end of things goes, you should have cues. If you don't have cues, then go out and create some cues, and then go around to colleges and say, you know, can I do your film score, and just keep doing it until you get better and better. And you'd be surprised if you've done a good job, the director's doing another thing and they hire you, or the producer on this last movie thought your score was great,
mm-hmm.
or then you get to a place where people actually start looking for you.
I guess, Megan, what you're saying is you need to create your own opportunities.
Yeah, you have to. And you have to create your own reel and have to keep learning all the newest software and all the newest things.
You have to cold call,
yeah.
even when it's
really yucky.
Crazy. Yeah, because you never know what's going to come out of it.
Does that help?
Yeah, very much so. Well, actually, collaboratively, what does future hold for you?
We have a couple things on the burner.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot in the children's market now since this movie. We just did this a song for this My Little Pony movie, which is really fun, and that's another brand entirely. That's Hasbro,
mm-hmm.
and we've done other things for Mattel.
We're developing a new musical.
Yes, we're developing a new musical about advice columnists.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And because in America, there are a lot of people giving a lot of other people advice.
I see.
And yeah, we're meeting, knock on wood, on a couple other projects as well. So we're out there, and I'm also actually a music supervisor on a big show here called Higglytown Heroes, and Amy is doing some stuff at Disney as well. That's with I'm with the Disney channel, and she's
right. And I'm doing the Disney direct-to-video kind of market.
So
it's been really fun.
We're just scouring the planet for more work.
And we're waiting for Barbie to come back and sing her reprise. Actually, Mattel has a new Barbie movie coming out. The one After Hours
mm-hmm.
is not a musical, but it's really delightful. It's called Fairytopia.
Oh.
And it's quite beautiful. We're waiting, but we're not
right.
waiting
meantime,
silently.
Yeah, and we create stuff from within as well. I mean, the two of us can create stuff and go out and sell it, and also with this new musical that we're just starting up. It's great because we can also self-generate, which is also important as an artist, that you're able to do that, as well as work for hire, which is really important.
Right. It's great when someone calls you up and says, hey, we have a job for you.
Right.
But if they don't, you know,
you've got
to be percolating ideas of your own.
That's right.
Right.
So that's been leading us in a good place.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, both of you.
Hey, thanks so much,
Rob. It was fantastic. I hope that your careers continue on the incredible path that they've been going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.